The Monty Show, Monday, August 27th, 2018. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
Hello.
We got a lot to get to today. We got to talk about Tom Brady. Is Tom Brady dirty? Is his legacy damaged? Boy, I think there's a lot of smoke around that Tom Brady legacy fire. We'll get into all that. Odell Beckham Jr. is a bust. Jay Cutler doesn't have his own money. His wife owns him. But by the way, the biggest news today, the savior, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the second base legend, Luis Urias, has been called up by the Padres. I mean, it's a good day, man.
It's going to be one hell of a run for 29 games.
We're going to wind up talking about Steve DeBerg on the show. You don't even know who Steve DeBerg is. Vinny Testaverde, Brett Favre, the thumb, as I like to call him. Like, I mean, we're going to have a great show today.
Right, right, right.
So is it uncouth to fight while playing basketball at LA Fitness?
Huge.
Should we just start the show off with
just
this?
Just start right there, because it's just a perfect, you know.
All right. So
let's wind the clocks back to Saturday.
Saturday? What happened Saturday?
Oh, that's right. We didn't play Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't fight with anybody Sunday. I had nothing to do with
that. Yeah, was that ceiling fans were Saturday?
Yes. I installed three ceiling fans on my own, by myself, with Mrs. Monty. It was great. But we played basketball Sunday, and there's a small woman, she's probably in her 50s, who wears, like, normal street clothes into the gym. And you know those like recyclable grocery bags?
Yeah, they're like the plastic ones that are real sturdy.
That everybody's into them now. I think they're made from hemp or CBD oil or whatever. Anyway, whatever the kids are into. She walks into the gym with a basketball inside of one of those CBD oil bags. I'm kidding. Inside of one of those grocery bags you have to buy because we're no longer allowed to kill the ocean. So she puts on lifting gloves.
Bro.
Do you even? She puts on like those weightlifter gloves with the fingers
the
poking out.
Fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She runs up and down the basketball floor just wildly shooting the ball. And she hit me in the head again. And she just goes and just keeps on running away.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like you could say sorry. Oh, excuse me. No. Like, she hits me in the head. I turn around, ready to freak out, and she's like, and then she dribbles away. So I unintentionally got my revenge by hitting her with the ball. Unintentionally. Didn't mean to. Didn't try to. Just happened.
Well.
Worked out well.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And then there was a video this morning on my Twitter feed. The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show.
This escalated quickly.
Where there's a prankster who dresses up as a Middle Eastern man in the whole garb and everything, and he walks into an LA Fitness in Los Angeles, one that we've been to. And up in LA, it's a different world when you're playing basketball at LA Fitness. And so he walks in there, and he's like, can I just ball? I never get to ball. And they're like, no, man, there's too many people here. And so he takes the ball from a large black man who decides it's a good idea to try and play this little Arab guy one-on-one. No. Because you know what this is. This is Uncle Drew all over again. So the little Arab guy does a between-the-legs dribble, goes to the rack, lays it up, and the black guy tries to beat him to a pulp. Like, takes a full-on swing and missed. It's an
almost
amazing
fell over.
Video. And he's like, all I want to do is ball. It's funny, but it's not funny. Because I think any of us who've played basketball at that LA Fitness, Westminster, California, we all know that that's too real.
Yeah, it's real.
Too real.
It's real, yeah.
And one other fake liar I'm fooling you thing. Have you seen the Sacha Baron Cohen show on Showtime? I know you're a big-time recruiter now, and you have this career of yours and stuff, and you know, you Arizonans don't have time to, like, you know, actually do fun things.
Right.
Because you're busy dying in the heat.
Right.
But have you seen the show where he dresses up and puts on makeup and masks and stuff? And
no.
Goes full on, like...
No.
No, okay. So he's fooled a bunch of people with it.
Okay.
And like big time people. He almost got O.J. Simpson to admit he murdered Ron and Nicole.
What?
Almost. But he's gotten like Sarah Palin. Like he's got a bunch of people. Like a bunch of people. It's uncomfortable.
So wait. If he had gotten O.J. to admit, it wouldn't matter anyway because nothing would happen to O.J.
Right, because he was acquitted.
Yeah.
Remember, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah, you know. But that would have rocked the world.
Oh, it would have been.
That would have been like, you know. It would have been huge.
Yeah, I mean, do you like Sacha Baron Cohen? Is he your slice of comedy or?
No, I mean, look, I'm not super into like the comedy scene. Like, I used to really like Kevin Hart's stand-ups. Like, he was funny for a little while, but he's not funny anymore. You know, like the funniest Kevin Hart that I see is on Instagram and all the montages and the cut-ups of
After the whole cheating wife thing, I kind of dumped him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I just didn't...
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just not hugely, like, enamored by comedians these days.
Well, he does some uncomfortable stuff, obviously. But he got, you know, Bernie Sanders. He got, like... Dick Cheney, I mean, all of these big time political, like big name guys, he got like everybody and it's just uncomfortable to watch. I've never been a huge Sacha Baron Cohen guy. His comedy is, it's funny. Don't get me wrong.
It's not about whether it's funny or not, because comedians are typically always funny. It's a matter of how you execute it and how you deliver it that takes it like to another level. And I feel like that's kind of like what's missing. You really have to appreciate people's skill.
But like even the Borat thing,
Borat was huge, but I never got into it. It just never was my thing.
It's so awkward.
Yeah.
It's so awkward. And the Bruno thing, and I don't know. He just makes me uncomfortable, but it would have been cool to see OJ admit to it.
Yeah.
I mean, even you can't prosecute him for it. Nothing would have happened, but it just would have been cool to see OJ admit it.
All
right. Do we gush about Luis Urias or do we start talking about Tom Brady's legacy?
Well, let's go Tom Brady first. This is a good conversation.
All right. So you know that Tom Brady has had a lot of controversies in his career. How many Super Bowls did they, you know, use Spygate to win or deflate footballs or whatever? But this thing with his personal body guru, Alex Guerrero, who, if you don't know, they call him Tom's trainer, but he really is Tom's body mechanic. Like, he's in charge of his food. He, during the season, I don't know how many people know this, he works with Tom Brady 7 days a week, twice a day during the season, doing everything from deep tissue massage to like chiropractic adjustments and food. Like, you name it, he does it on Tom Brady. And so one of the controversies here is that the Patriots got upset with this Alex Guerrero guy over the last three seasons. And in 2015, they essentially said, okay, we're not going to allow you on the sideline or to travel on the team plane anymore because he criticized the way the team medical staff in New England was handling players' injuries. And that's really where this whole thing begins. Because when you piss off Tom Brady, that's the golden goose.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So why would you do that? But then you had the Julian Edelman suspension. And that was for performance-enhancing, what do you want to call it? Drugs, supplements, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Well, it turns out his trainer is also Alex Guerrero. And Guerrero denied any wrongdoing. He essentially threw Edelman under the bus, saying that Edelman works with multiple people and he can't control everything that he's doing. It's an ugly situation. So all of a sudden, the preseason started, and guess who's back on the team plane and back on the sidelines for the Patriots?
Yeah.
Alex Guerrero.
Yeah.
With Tom Brady, traveling on the team plane, at the team hotel, with Tom Brady. So everybody's been asking about it. And so Tom Brady does a regular Monday morning hit on WEEI in Boston. It's an awesome radio station, but they've had continuous run-ins with Tom Brady, who hung up on them once before. And well, this morning, Tom Brady hung up on them again because they wouldn't stop asking about his trainer.
He had said in his opinion that all this stuff had been overblown, that he and Belichick actually had a pretty good relationship even then. Would you say that was true?
I said I don't want to get into it.
Okay. Go ahead, Evan.
Yeah. I mean, everyone knows it's well documented how, you know, the work that he and I do together.
No, I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out, because I saw the reports this weekend that he's traveling with the team. Was he on the sideline on Friday?
Yeah. All right, guys, have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Wow. That's Tom Brady hanging up on WEEI radio in Boston. And it's getting to this point now where it's uncomfortable to listen to. But this time, it's not WEEI, who you'll remember previously, made fun of Tom Brady kissing his son on the mouth.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what this is. This is a legitimate news source saying, hey, Tom, we need to talk about this guy. And Tom Brady saying, I'm not going to talk about it with you. So WEEI, the Callahan on that show, I think it's Kirk and Callahan now, they ask him again, hey, well, was he on the sideline Friday night? And Tom says, yeah. All right, guys, I got to go. Or talk to you soon. And he hangs up.
Yeah, yeah, he ends it.
This is a bad look for Tom Brady.
Sure. Yeah, it is. I would agree with that. I think there's a lot of smoke, and I think in these situations where there's a lot of smoke, there's a lot of like, hey, you know, A plus B equals C, but we just don't know if it actually equals C this time. So I think, yeah, there's a lot adding up to it, and I don't even disagree with you on that, but I think we need to be very careful how far we go with the, hey, Alex Guerrero's, you know, 100%, you know, not 100%, but like 85, 90% responsible for Tom Brady's ability to win football games.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to say he's 100% responsible.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying, though.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady and Alex Guerrero have been working together for over a decade. The height of Tom Brady's career arrived after he and Alex Guerrero started working together. His best days as a quarterback arrived after he started working with Alex Guerrero. Okay, on its face, that's nothing, right? Okay. But then you find out that they went into business together. Tom Brady and Alex Guerrero. They came up with a brain supplement that they claimed, Tom Brady and Alex Guerrero, claimed to help you more quickly recover from a concussion because the minerals and supplements in their product essentially put your brain in a cushion. The FTC said, that's not true. Stop selling that product immediately. That's a problem, right? So now you've been nailed by the government as selling and marketing false claims for a brain supplement.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, if that was it, you know, no big deal. But then the Julian Edelman thing. And oh, by the way, who's the last quarterback to play this well into his 40s?
But by the way, that's not going to happen all the time either.
What?
Guys playing into their 40s. It doesn't like...
Because it doesn't happen in the NFL. Because you're getting your ass whooped on a week in and week out basis. A snap in and snap out basis.
When's the last time somebody took care of their body the way athletes of this generation have? For as long as they have.
Last year, but guys retired.
Not last year. I'm saying for the entire time since... Was it 06 you said Alex Guerrero showed up, right? It was mid-2000s.
It was back to when the dynasty of the Patriots started, because the way he got to New England was Willie McGinnis brought him into New England to work with him physically and then eventually introduced him to Tom Brady, and they started working together full time. I think it was in 2005. And that's where this all started. But the issue is, no, when you do something that nobody's ever done before, Barry Bonds, it starts to look a little, well, what are we talking about here? Because this isn't deflating footballs. And this isn't illegally recording teams or any of
that. But it's also not hitting home runs the way Barry Bonds hit home runs.
I disagree.
I don't see how you're making that connection. Barry
I think
Bonds,
Tom Brady is doing things that no other quarterback has ever done at the age of 40. And I went back and looked at it extensively today. The guys that you can point to are guys like Steve DeBerg, Vinny Testaverde, Warren Moon, and none of them have ever, I mean, even gotten close to him. Like, you look at guys like, remember Brad Johnson? You probably don't, but yeah, Brad Johnson played into his 40s. He threw for 427 yards.
Right, but Brad Johnson was never going to be Tom Brady. There's no, this is what I'm saying. Right, you got to hear me out on this.
Because he didn't work with Alex Grill. And I get what you're saying.
He didn't work with the medicine and the technology that Tom Brady has to work with. He didn't work in an era where Tom Brady can put all this money back into his body and understand why it's important to be, you know, vegan or eat well or whatever you're going to do to take care of your body. He didn't know what LeBron James knows. Like, when are we going to...
So nobody else in the history of the National Football League?
No, I don't
think
anybody else has the ability that Tom has and has the mindset that Tom has had for a decade now.
I just don't buy it. Brett Favre is one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League. Brett Favre's a guy who had everything you could need or want at your fingertips, and he never even got close. Like, when he was 40 years old, he threw for 4,200 yards.
Right.
And then when he was 41, he threw for 2,500 yards.
Right. And Brett Favre was also the guy rolling out of the pocket, throwing against the grain, getting crushed, and not taking care of his body.
Well, but he still played when he was 40 and 41, which is where Tom Brady is.
The difference, though, is Brett Favre took a beating, and I think they both play in the NFL.
He was still playing when he was 40, and Tom Brady's 41 right now. So Tom's still playing when he was 40. And by the way, threw for more yards and had better numbers and played in a Super Bowl. Like, Tom Brady is doing things that no other quarterback has ever done. I don't ever buy it when somebody says, well, it's technology. Veganism and all of that has been around. Holistic medicine has been around longer than any of us have been around. Like, this is not new. Barry Bonds, they said the same thing about Barry Bonds. They said the same thing about Roger Clemens. Oh, B12 shots in his ass. Like, this is just remarkable. But it turned out it wasn't really B12.
So what is it then?
I don't know. And I'm not accusing Tom Brady of anything.
But the inference is that Tom Brady, by extension of Alex Guerrero, is cheating.
What I'm telling you is there's a ton of smoke here now.
And what I'm saying is if you're not cheating in the NFL, you're not playing the game.
Well, and that might be true. That might be true. But Tom Brady is different because Tom Brady made himself different. Tom Brady is this, in my opinion, otherworldly quarterback. But I don't even think there's a conversation about who the best quarterback in the history of football is.
Right. Yeah.
It's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And he's got this supermodel hot wife and these beautiful kids and this awesome everything.
But why does anything off the field matter when we're talking about...
Because we're talking about integrity and ethics. And we're talking about Tom Brady as a brand. We're talking about TB12. Because that all plays into this. Because we're buying magic underwear from Under Armour that Tom Brady says makes you sleep deeper and recover better. People are paying $200 for that. I'm not even kidding. And we're buying the TB12 meal plans and under the guise that it's going to make us the best quarterback in the history of football. Meaning Tom Brady took it and look at what happened to him. I'm going to take it and that's going to happen to me. And we all know that that's not likely to happen. And furthermore, his performance on the field is very, very Bonds. Barry Bonds, rather, excuse me. Because it's better than anybody else who's ever done it. And it's better by a lot. Nobody has done what Tom Brady is doing. And I'm not accusing Tom Brady of anything. I'm just telling you, it's getting harder and harder to look past the Julian Edelman incidents when they happen. It's getting harder and harder to hear Tom Brady hang up on his weekly interview when they're not attacking him for kissing his kid. When they're asking him a legitimate question and
so,
Tom doesn't want to talk about it.
Let me ask you this then. Why is it okay to point out what Tom Brady's doing on the football field at age 40, but we're going to criticize him for hanging up in this interview, but we're not going to criticize a guy like LeBron James, who's playing out of his mind for his age, by the way, mm-hmm. and by the way, walked out of a postseason press conference and criticized the media. We're not comparing these two, because in my opinion, it's the exact same thing. The only thing that's different is that we suspect something's off because of Alex Guerrero. We don't know who LeBron's guys are.
Okay, so we do know who LeBron's guys are. David Alexander is one of them in Miami.
Who's the guy that's feeding him the stuff he shouldn't be taking, or the illegal stuff?
I don't know who. I'm not saying that LeBron's taking anything illegal.
But you're saying that what Tom Brady's doing is powered by somebody who's not on the up and up.
Who is nefarious. I'm saying...
So because Tom Brady's performance is powered by somebody who's nefarious, that doesn't equal greatness anymore. It's starting to weigh, and you're starting to wonder if it's real or not.
What I'm saying is I don't like the idea that Tom Brady doesn't want to talk about his personal trainer, and that Tom Brady doesn't want to talk about the guy being on the sidelines, and that I'm Tom Brady and I don't want
to
talk about it.
What is he supposed to say? Like, what would be the correct thing for him to do to say?
Yeah, hey, you know, he's back with us, and I'm thrilled to have him, and it really makes me feel better to have him on the sideline there. And what's wrong with saying that? And if they say, hey, well, what was the rub with Bill Belichick? Then you could say, well, you know, this stuff happened behind closed doors, so I'm going to leave it there. I'm not here to talk about, you know, that. All I'll say is I'm thrilled to have my guy back on the sidelines.
So what's wrong with him saying, what's the difference between him giving that answer, which essentially dances around what they asked him, versus him first off saying, I don't want to talk about it, and then getting prodded again and then hanging up?
Because here's what happens. Now that Julian Edelman's taken a suspension from this trainer, right? He worked with this trainer and took a 4-game PED suspension. You know that there has been a rough history with the trainer, the head coach, and the organization. And then you lose your best receiver. And then you don't want to answer questions about it? Like, it just, the series of events here, it's damaging. Like, I'm fine to blow off squishy ball gate. I don't care about that. Now, Tom Brady has a link to a guy, you know, whose athletes that he works with are getting suspended. Yeah, I care about that.
One athlete, right?
It doesn't matter if it's one or five. One might as well be 10.
No, I think it does matter because I think if there's a difference between one and five. If five guys from the same guy get suspended, that's Major League Baseball territory.
Okay, great. If it's one guy and then you know that Tom Brady...
was working with like four other people, though. That's my point. Like,
right,
so
but I don't know who those four other people were. I know who this guy is. And by the way, this is also a guy that got in trouble with the federal government for marketing bogus supplements for your brain. So you can just keep piling the stuff on. And I'm not saying Tom Brady's doing anything illegal.
But essentially, and again, I'm not telling you you're wrong, but we are saying that. We're saying that, hey, there's no actual hard concrete proof that Tom Brady is doing anything illegal, but he's playing till he's 40. He's doing things that nobody else has done.
He's performing at a historic, record-breaking level.
And all of that is diminished because he's connected to somebody who's not on the up and up.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That I believe that his legacy is in jeopardy here. Because the real problem is? I would not be surprised if Tom Brady tested positive for something this season.
Well, that changes the game, though. If he comes out and tests positive, that will hurt his legacy.
I would have never thought that about Brett Favre. I would never have thought that about Peyton Manning.
Why?
I would have never thought that about Joe Montana. No, because they're not hanging up on interviews when you ask them about their personal trainers. And I guess throw Joe Montana out because it was so long ago. But
Peyton Manning's a perfectly fine example.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning didn't market supplements. Peyton Manning didn't market a meal delivery service.
He just wasn't the brand that Tom is.
Well, that's fine. But I don't understand where you're confused. Tom Brady is telling us, eat this because I do. Sleep in these magic underwear because I do. Hey, look at my awesome personal trainer who got Julian Edelman to work with him. Hey, Julian, work with my guy. And then Julian Edelman turns up with a 4-game PED suspension. And the trainer flips on him and says, well, he works with other guys. It's their fault, not mine. Okay, where's the confusion? You're trying to turn this into me saying that Tom Brady's using steroids. I'm not saying that.
I'm saying we just have to be careful with the connection.
I am being careful. What part of what I've said are you not understanding? I am being careful. You can sit here and try to like spin this into something it's not. Tom Brady's got an association with a guy who has an athlete who's suspended. The federal government told these guys not to sell their brains supplement because it's a lie. Like, what is the confusion? Like, why defend this guy?
I'm not defending him. What I'm saying...
Yes, you are defending him. You're saying that there's nothing here.
I'm just saying that we can't just assume that his legacy is taking a hit, because I don't think it is.
That's my opinion. I do think it's taking a hit. You can't tell me how to feel about Tom Brady's legacy. And my opinion is that Tom Brady's legacy is taking a hit. Because at some point, as I've said 100 times, when it comes to Spygate and Deflategate, I can look past that. But then when you throw in this trainer situation, and he's, why not talk about your personal, what is the problem talking about your trainer being on the sideline?
Because like he said, it's well documented that he's there. Like, what do you want him to say? Like, it's, okay, he's on the sideline because it makes me feel better, because that makes me perform better. Okay, well, what else is it giving you that makes you perform
better?
Any
normal, reasonable athlete is going to say, yeah, it's great to have him back on the sideline. And, you know, everybody, it's well documented. We have a close relationship. He works on me twice a day. Like, yeah, it's great to have him back. And then you don't hang up. Then you move on to preseason game number 3. Or, hey, what did you see from the receivers? Or how is X, Y, and Z? Like, you, and sure, should they have stopped prodding him when he said, I don't want to talk about it? Maybe. They're partners. You know, they do the Tom Brady show every Monday. Maybe they should have stopped. But he refused to answer the question. It was awkward. Listening, and we played a snippet of it, but listening to the whole interview, it's an awkward interview. Because Tom refuses to talk about it. It makes it a problem. That's weird. Do you understand that? Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
That you don't want to talk about your personal trainer.
Yeah.
It's just
that.
it's odd to me. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And knowing that this is a guy who's at every game, home and away, he's on the sidelines, he's at practice, he works on Tom 24 hours a day, 7 days a week during the season. He's there at his house, works on his body physically, hands-on twice a day, works with his chef to program his menu, has workouts written out for Tom Brady 6 months in 6 month blocks. Here's what you do during the season. On Tuesday at 10 o'clock, you're doing this. So what about what the trainers for the team want him to do?
He's Tom Brady. He doesn't need to.
Right. So then when you're 41 and you're still throwing for 4,500 yards last year and making it to the Super Bowl with, I don't know who is your wide receiver, because all of a sudden everybody's hurt. Gronkowski's not available, and you're still getting to the Super Bowl, and you're still on the verge of winning another championship. He's doing things that nobody else has done, and I'm the one who's wrong for questioning his legacy. I'm the one who's wrong for saying, hey, the federal government shut down his supplement brand because it was BS and didn't do what it said it did, according to the Federal Trade Commission, right? So I'm the one that's wrong? I don't think so. I'm not the guy who just says, well, it's Tom Brady. He's perfect. I'm not doing that. Because that's not what, this is awkward. This is weird what he's doing.
Yeah. It's there's smoke, but
you change your opinion from the pre-show meeting?
Because you just listed off 10 different things that he's doing that none of those other guys did. None of those guys did that stuff, what he's doing. Nobody had their workouts scheduled out for 6 months, in 6 months blocked, and told you what to do every minute of your damn day.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, that's why he's playing till 40, because he has it all dialed in. It's a scientific art, and yet we're going to sit here and say, well, because Edelman, who worked with 4 different trainers, not to mention all those guys who are working with Patriot trainers are hurt, let's not focus on that. Let's just focus on the fact that he's playing till 40.
So now you're saying that Alex Guerrero's correct about the Patriot trainers.
No, I'm saying that you can't just sit here and say that Alex Guerrero is, you know, doing stuff on the down low and Tom's doing something. We're not sure what it is, but he doesn't want to talk about it. So we're essentially saying, well, there's something there. There's smoke there. Like,
well, because he won't, it's not just, well, there's some smoke there.
Yeah, it's because he doesn't want to talk about it. It's because
he doesn't want to talk about it.
Because
he got shut down by the federal government.
Sure, that's fine.
For a brain supplement.
I can get with you on that.
His trainer's got an athlete who's got a 4-game PED suspension from the NFL. And I don't care how many other trainers he worked with. He worked with Alex Guerrero because Tom Brady told him to. So he's got that on his side, and he's doing historically unique things that no other quarterback in the history of the league, in the history of the National Football League, has ever done. And I told you the guys, Warren Moon, Mark Brunell, Brett Favre is the best example. Brett Favre threw for 4,200 yards and then fell off the table when he was 41. Let's see what Tom Brady does, because I have a feeling Tom's not going to fall off the table here. So Alex Guerrero's great, man. Everybody should work with Alex Guerrero, I guess. Why don't they? Why is it just Tom Brady?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Why isn't Josh Allen working with him? Why isn't Baker Mayfield working with him? Why doesn't he have a whole stable? Because then you turn into a Victor Conti of the world. Then you turn, like, this is, I'm telling you, this is so incredibly Barry Bonds. Like, this is exactly what the conversation was with Barry Bonds. Well, you can't say he did this. And then in private, you know, sworn testimony to a grand jury, what did Barry do? Well, yeah, well, what did Roger Clemens do? Well, okay. What did Rafael Palmeiro do? Failed a test. You know, like, at least Mark McGwire had the androstenedione in a tub in his locker. Like, everybody knew what he was taking. You know, like, it makes me crazy that a guy like Tom Brady gets the benefit of the doubt because he's Tom Brady and he's won a bunch of Super Bowls.
And he's never failed a damn thing. There's never been any other question. And it was cool 3 months ago to talk about how he's going to play till 45. And all of a sudden, because one guy failed suspension, who wasn't just working with Alex, but Alex happened to be the common denominator, now we're going to question everything. I just think it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't think it's fair. Like, I don't think it's fair to Tom to say, after everything he's done for the league, you talk about me flip-flopping, you're flip-flopping. Tom Brady's the best quarterback to ever do it in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, but all of that's going to be diminished on some level. I'm not saying you're just writing him off or anything, but it is diminished on some level for you because Alex Guerrero has done something which Tom has never been caught for in the NFL. Yeah, the commission thing, okay, I get that. You guys are idiots. You got shut down for something that clearly is not real or tangible. Like, obviously, you guys were trying to be mad scientists. Like, that's a little ridiculous. But to sit here and say that Tom is, his legacy is being diminished, like, I guess I see what you're saying when it all adds up cumulatively, but I don't buy it. Until you get caught, you've done nothing. Get caught, and then that will hurt your legacy.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like you flip-flopped from the pre-show meeting. I think you were happy to question his legacy when we were talking about it before the show. So, but now all of a sudden you're like, no, we're not going to question his legacy. Can't do it. Like, what's different?
I just said, cumulatively, I get why you would question his legacy. It is not fair to punish him for something he has not been caught for. You're simply, you know, I shouldn't say you, because we are drawing lines and trying to connect a spider web of stuff that has happened. That right now, because really right now, it's just a very convenient set of circumstances. There isn't that line in the sand like, hey, this
but
right
that's
here.
What, I'm telling you, that's what Pete Rose was before the gambling thing came down. Not to keep going back to it, that's what Barry Bonds was. That's what Sosa and McGwire were.
I understand. But what I'm saying is Tom Brady is different. He's above those guys.
Why?
For the NFL.
Why?
Because he's always been that.
Right, but so was... Oh, my God. So was Barry Bonds. He was the greatest hitter in the history of baseball until he got tied to Greg Anderson.
And that's how it works.
Well, he's tied to Alex Guerrero.
Which is what? That's what I'm saying. Jeez. Like, what? You're,
man.
It's one guy. Like, this is what I'm saying. It's one guy who got suspended. Like, it's not as though...
This is where it starts.
Okay, that's fair to say.
If
you want to say
one
this
guy,
is where
if
it
it's
starts?
One guy who got suspended, why is Tom Brady hanging up on interviewers asking him about it? And they weren't even being jerks about it. I don't get, like, pull your head out. Like, why all of a sudden are you so pro Tom Brady?
No, I'm pro
the
being
evidence
fair
is
to
there.
The guy.
So am I. The evidence is there. Yes,
there isn't. You said it yourself. There's a lot of smoke. There isn't a in the concrete proof evidence that he is cheating. There isn't. There's a lot of, I can tell you, there's a lot of.
I'm not telling you Tom Brady's cheating.
Then what are you saying?
I'm saying he's doing things that are damaging his legacy.
That's, you come on.
That's what I've been saying the whole time.
That's saying he's cheating, man.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you. You had a fraudulent freaking supplement company that got shut down by the government. That damages your legacy. You're working with a trainer who's got an athlete that was suspended for PEDs. That damages your legacy. Right? You're doing things that historically nobody's ever done before. Well, that's all well and good. That's all well and good. But why and how are you able to do that? Because you're working with a guy who's tainted. Right? Am I talking about Barry Bonds or am I talking about Tom Brady?
You're agreeing with me.
No, I'm not. Who am I talking about? I am talking about Barry Bonds and Tom Brady because they're both doing the exact same things. By the way, where's Tom Brady from? The Bay Area. That's where Tom Brady's from. So let's not play this game like it's impossible that the clean as the driven snow Tom Brady.
I didn't say that. Don't exaggerate. I didn't say that.
But you refuse to look at the evidence, and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming that Tom Brady's legacy has been damaged. You can't just look past it anymore. It's not just some rich guy walking around without socks inside of Ugg boots, and it's funny to laugh at him about it. It's not. It's not Tom being terrific in the backyard wearing shoulder pads and a helmet and throwing passing patterns to his kid. That's not what it is anymore. This is a guy now who doesn't want to talk about you can't let the clown out of the box and then ignore it. You can't do that. When Edelman got suspended, if he was serious about his legacy, Tom Brady, he probably should have whacked Alex Guerrero. Now, if he's doing nothing wrong, okay. And when it never comes out, I'll never talk about it again. But my opinion is that now I really feel like you have to wonder how Tom Brady is throwing for 4,550 yards at the age of 40. How is he able to play and supposedly be in the greatest shape of his career at 41? Like, how is that possible? How does he never get injured? The guy, like, he has this knee in 2008,
mm-hmm.
right? Other than that, Tom Brady's never really had, like, huge, significant injuries like every other quarterback in the NFL. You know, he supposedly had, you know, like unreported concussions, according to Giselle.
Yeah, but who doesn't really? Who doesn't?
But is this a guy that breaks his arm? Is this a guy that has a shoulder strain? Is this Tyrod Taylor, you know, dislocating a pinky finger and bruising a hand? How's he doing it? Is it the magic underwear? Is it all of these twice a day?
I've told you how I think he's doing it.
So you're a believer in the magic underwear?
No, I'm not.
And the workouts and the...
I'm a believer in the total package. This is the LeBron discussion that I keep bringing up.
Well, LeBron. Why did LeBron go to where he's been? Well, because LeBron hurt his back. So LeBron was working with a guy named David Alexander in Miami. He's a renowned physical trainer. He works with NBA guys, baseball guys, football guys, works with them all. David Alexander got him the core strength guru. And LeBron completely changed his workouts. By the way, steroids don't help you in the NBA. They hurt you. Do you understand why?
Well, yeah, they break your body down.
Yeah, he plays above the rim. So his knees, his back, his hips would never sustain it. That's why, like in the NBA, you never catch guys. And I shouldn't say never, but you rarely. I think it's amphetamines in the NBA to lose weight. It's weed in the, you know, like you don't catch guys taking Stanozolol or, you know, you just don't, right? So the LeBron example, you just need to throw that out. Like LeBron, he is the guy that's engineered to be a machine. He's a human being engineered like a machine.
So explain the difference between what LeBron's total package of food, fitness, and putting $1 million plus, whatever it is, mm-hmm. back into his body pretty much, you know, maybe different reasons, but that's what Tom Brady's setup is. He knows when
there's one easy difference here, dude. Okay. One guy's getting crushed on Sundays, one guy's not. Tom Brady plays in the National Football League, and nobody's been able to physically withstand the beatings. And there's no question in my mind that Tom Brady works out hard, that Tom Brady eats perfectly, that he gets these deep tissue massages and body adjustments, and no doubt about that. He works hard on his body. But so did Brett Favre. So, I mean, like, and I buy your Joe Montanas, your Steve Youngs, your, okay, great, I get that.
But wouldn't you agree that Joe Montana's in a, again, a different era? Like, those guys, like, yes, even Favre.
That's why I said, I get
Favre,
it. Though, I,
like,
I get
even,
it.
Even Favre. Favre was a red ass. Favre was the guy that went out on the football field and was the gunslinger. He
right,
played
a, Peyton Manning?
It's not a red ass. He doesn't, he didn't,
right.
Their brands
Peyton
are different.
Peyton Manning's body fell apart.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was the absolute schematic of the physical type you want to play quarterback. And his body fell apart on him. Tom Brady's didn't. Like, I'm just saying, again, I'm not telling you that I believe or that I know, or there's just, it's not, in my opinion, there's just no way for him to play at this level. If he throws for 4,500 more yards this year, I'm off the bandwagon. I just, there's no, nobody's ever done it. Do you understand? In the history of the National Football League, nobody's ever done it. Everybody said, well, George Blanda played until he was 90. He was a kicker. He gave up playing quarterback. He was a kicker in his 40s and 50s. And by the way, he played before there were cars. Like, I mean, the guys that you need to point to as examples of Tom Brady are none, because it's never happened before. And people absolutely have the chance. There's no doubt about it, whether it was Favre or Manning or, I mean, just who's the best quarterback in the NBA, in the NFL behind Tom Brady?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. Missed a lot of games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shoulder, knee.
Notice what he's doing.
What?
Rolling out of the pocket, taking hits.
Yeah.
Tom Brady doesn't run.
Hey.
Tom Brady stands in the pocket and gets rid of the football.
Sure. Could be. Yeah, he's a quick release system guy. I've heard it for a decade. He's a system guy. I get it. Edelman, yeah, they're all Gronk, the system guy. Randy Moss, system guy. I get it. I agree with you that he's probably safer in the pocket than he is on the run.
But I'm saying more than that. You're pointing to all these guys.
Peyton Manning was a pocket passer. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady's faster than Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. Look at Andrew Luck. Body falling apart. You know, like the only guy that really plays most of games is Matt Ryan. Even Drew Brees had the horrific shoulder injury. Like, it's bound to happen. It's bound to happen.
But it's not as though, again, we're pointing to guys who have had major injuries. Mm-hmm. Tom has had a major injury.
One in 2008. That was 10 seasons ago. A knee injury. And when did Alex Guerrero really cement himself with Tom Brady? In 2008 when he hurt his knee. That's when they really got going. That's when he became like the godfather of his kids kind of relationship. Because he is a godfather to one of Tom's mm-hmm. sons, mm-hmm. right? And we've spent 44 minutes on this. So I guess it matters. My point is, find me the other guy who's done it. Because Vinny Testaverde doesn't count. Steve DeBerg, they were all terrible. Late into their careers, even Warren Moon. Nobody's done it. Brett Favre was that close. Now, if Tom throws for, you know, 2,000 yards, I think it was what Brett Favre did when he was 41. Okay. Okay. Maybe he's just gotten really lucky to this point where he's been able to avoid the thumb injuries and all this stuff. Didn't he have a cut on his hand or something at one point?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's been able to avoid all of that. Maybe he's just not thrown his back out playing with his kids at home over the summer. Everybody has something, except Tom Brady.
The main thing we disagree on is I put much more emphasis on the total package. I don't believe that Brett Favre or, you know, Joe Montana had the system in place that guys like the elite athletes of the world have in place.
Well, I'm saying is just point to the guys now then. Just go with the guys now. Like the Matt Ryans, the Peyton Mannings. Matt Ryan's probably the best example, but he's so much younger than Tom Brady. Like Matt Ryan does not get really hurt. You know, he's almost bulletproof. Right? I mean, the guy's known for falling apart against who? Tom Brady. But other than that, does Matt Ryan really miss a lot of games? How about a grand total of 0 games? Like the guy just
over
doesn't.
How many games?
The guy doesn't. Was 2008 was his 10. This is his 10th season.
Yeah.
He missed 2 games in 2009. That's it. He's played 16 games every other year of his career. By the way, he's only 33 now.
So that would mean
so he's
that
got seven
he's
more
on
seasons
track to be a healthier quarterback than Tom Brady's been.
Yeah. Yeah, he plays a lot. Matt Ryan's the guy.
So they're both pocket passers. Matt Ryan is on pace to be healthier, but he's got a lot of football left to play. I don't know. You're taking it as I'm saying you're wrong. My point here is that there's a lot of smoke, and I think it is awfully funny and convenient that he doesn't want to answer questions about it, but I'm not ready to sit here and say that, you know, ever since Alex Guerrero's been in the program, that's why Tom Brady is able to get to this point. I'm saying that it could be Alex Guerrero or it could be the next best guy. If Tom Brady's got that dialed in of a program and a life, you know the kind of discipline it takes to live that kind of life? If you're that disciplined and you build your body to that level.
Other guys are disciplined too. Are you telling me that again, Andrew Luck?
Okay, so let's say he is taking performance enhancing.
Which I'm not saying he is.
Okay, well.
I'm not going to sit here and say.
It's very frustrating that you're drawing the line saying there's a lot of smoke. In saying that, well, Edelman got suspended. Well, what did he get suspended for? Even though Julian Edelman was working with how many other trainers, which I think is a perfectly fair point. I think that should be heavily discussed.
Sure.
Why is it that if he's working with 4 guys, we go right to Alex Guerrero? Oh, because he got caught in the commission with some brain drug, which means that's why.
No, because he is training the guy. Again, he's training the guy who's doing things nobody's ever done before.
Okay,
by
so
the way,
getting,
Victor,
he's
Victor
getting, he's
Conti,
gonna get scrutinized.
Valco Labs, Victor Conti. What did Victor Conti do? A guy I know well, a guy who I've interviewed multiple times. I've spent 3 hours at his facility with him, Victor Conti. Victor Conti was working with guys, designing their nutrition, and hooking them up with trainers, right? Victor was, as it turned out later, a little off the reservation with his supplements. And nobody knew. And so what was happening? Barry Bonds was hitting a ton of home runs. All the guys he was working with, ton of home runs. Really successful, like. But nobody knew until they knew. You don't do things that nobody's ever done before. In the sports that really stand out are Olympic sports usually, weightlifting, track and field.
It stands out in baseball. You can tell the difference.
Yeah.
In baseball, you can tell the difference.
Baseball.
I don't think, though, and again, I'm not going to have you sit here and say that I'm defending Tom Brady. But
well, you kind of are.
No, I'm saying that there needs to be a total picture of what this guy's done to get to this point in his career.
Okay, now my total picture, and I've said this 5 times, and I'm sorry if you're listening to this podcast and you're pissed off, I'm going to say it again. Okay, the FTC thing where him and Alex Guerrero marketed this drug and the FTC shut him down, said it was complete BS. Stop selling that drug, okay? The idea that Tom Brady, who is not physically imposing, who is not physically gifted, like as a physique guy, well, he's doing things that nobody's ever done before. So he's putting millions of dollars into his body, which he is, but then why doesn't he look like LeBron? Why doesn't he look like a guy that's putting millions of dollars into his body? I don't know. But he's Mr. Perfect, yet he won't talk about the guy who's making him Mr. Perfect. He's got all these Super Bowl rings. Remember the whole hand of rings thing at the Super Bowl party 2 years ago? But he won't talk about the guy who got him there. The Patriots don't want this guy around. It's caused a schism. It's caused a rift between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to that point Why is Tom so married to this one guy? And why does this one guy have to be at the facility day and night, on the sidelines, home and away, on the team plane? Why does this one guy have to work and be the only guy to give Tom Brady massages and chiropractic work? Why does he have to be the one guy for over a decade who's, you know, written up workout plans and nutrition meals? And it's weird that Tom Brady won't talk about a guy who's been with him for over a decade, does everything I just said he did, and Tom Brady won't talk about him. That's weird. That's really weird. That's odd. That's suspicious. That's the body of work I'm talking about. Like, there's more than a little bit here. And then you add, like, Deflategate, and then you add, like, Spygate and all that other stuff, and it starts to damage his legacy. And that's why I say, I don't have to say that Tom Brady's doing something. Like, it's the things that are out in the open make me suspicious. Whatever he does in his, you know, super sleeper underwear things that makes him sleep deeper and heal faster, because that's what he says, that's on his time. But this guy's legacy, if you think it's not damaged, I think you're crazy. 51 minutes later.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, are you? Do you want to shine Tom a little more now?
No.
Or
no, we've spent 51 minutes on it.
Odell Beckham Jr. got paid today. 5 years and $95 million, highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. Go.
Yeah, I mean, he's overrated. He doesn't deserve the money, and I think he's an odd guy.
He's not Antonio Brown.
Jarvis Landry is just as good. Yeah, I'm sure it's Alex Guerrero, and I'm sure Odell's going to play till he's 100, and he's going to cheat. Like, I get it.
He's not. It's not. Why do you say he's not worth it? I think it's more the mental makeup.
Yeah, I mean, he's an eye guy. He's got to be. He's an attention guy. He's got to be the highest paid guy. He's got to have the flashy blonde hair. He's got to make one handed catches. Like,
he's got to lose fights to kicking nets.
Yeah, like, it's all of it. I mean, he lives that lifestyle. It's who he is. Yeah. And the Giants are going to live to regret that contract because he's not winning them a Super Bowl.
Well, I would agree with you, and I think he's got to find a way to reinvent himself back to who he was. When him and Josh Norman were having throwdowns and all of that stuff, I mean, it's just like I'm looking at the statistical leaders in the NFL. Tom Brady was the leading passer in the NFL last year. I'll leave it right there. Receiving yard. So Antonio Brown. Who would you rather have?
He's better. Antonio Brown is outright better.
Julio Jones.
Better.
Keenan Allen from the Chargers.
No.
Nah, I probably wouldn't. Andre Hopkins from Houston.
Better.
Ooh, that's close.
Better. He's better because Andre Hopkins is more physical. Andre Hopkins is going to beat your ass the whole game.
Adam Thielen from Minnesota.
No.
Michael Thomas from New Orleans.
Nah.
Tyreek Hill?
He's got speed, but I don't think he's a better all-around player.
Larry Fitzgerald?
No.
Marvin Jones, Detroit? Nah. Gronk? Nah. Brandon Cooks, now with New England? Or was with New England, excuse me. Now with the Rams. A.J. Green?
A.J. Green's got body on him, but I just don't think he's performed.
Here's a guy, Mike Evans, Tampa. Close.
Depends what you want of an audio receiver, close. I guess.
Jarvis Landry.
I think they're even. I think Jarvis is just as good.
Juju.
No, he's not just as good. I think he's a little bit below.
After this season, I think he'll be better than Beckham.
Well, I mean, that may be true, but I'm just saying right now, I think he's a little bit below.
Odell better really step up because I think
he's never going to live up to the money.
You want to talk about legacies? Right now, this guy's legacy is that he's a freaking weirdo. And I'm not even kidding. Like, he's a head case.
Well, he's got paid.
That's his legacy. About. And by the way, I'd remind you that this is also a guy who played, what, 4 games last year? I mean, like, this is somebody that is not, he's not.
Yeah, you're investing in a guy that gets hurt.
Yeah.
And it's the National Football League, so injuries happen. But I think they're investing in a guy that won't be there long term.
He's played 16 games once.
Yeah, man.
So we'll see. I think it's a really risky contract. And by the way, real quick, here's a relationship question for you related to the NFL. Because your defense of Tom Brady has sucked up a lot of our time. I'm over it. So don't look at me like that. Sorry. Jay Cutler on Very Cavallari, which is a TV show, by the way, Young Buck. Kristen Cavallari is his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Cutler and her were having a conversation on this show that I don't watch, but I happen to get...
Never heard of it.
Yeah, well, it's a reality show that people actually like. It's coming back for season two. And I saw the clip, I think, on The Verge today. TheVerge.com is a great website, by the way. Jay Cutler and Cavalieri are having a conversation about money. And Cavalieri says to Jay Cutler, I don't need you. I want you. I don't need your money. I'm with you because I want to be with you. And essentially, the conversation boils down to the fact that Cavalieri spends none of her own money. And her money is her money, but Jay Cutler's money is both of their money. Like, would you ever be fine with that in a relationship?
Never. I would never get there.
So it all has to be community money.
Yeah.
Do you believe in prenups?
I mean, I don't like it. I don't like it.
If you've got a ton of money, come on.
If you've got a ton of money, yeah. I mean, I get it. But I don't like the I don't know.
The premise?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like the premise of, hey, I'm Miss Cavalieri and you can't touch my money, but I'm going to spend all your money on whatever I like to spend my money on.
So, and she opened a business. Essentially what happened is she opened a business and it all went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, she wasted
the grand opening. No. It got off the ground okay, but the grand opening was bad and there was problem with all the stuff. And they were just talking about things. But my point is with prenuptial agreements, I've never been a fan on the generic premise of a prenup, which is to say, I love you. No, I love you more. Okay, well, here, then sign this document that says when we divorce that we each go our separate ways with what we came with. See, like that basic premise, or where you say, and it's usually the man prenupping a woman. Well, I've got millions of dollars. So when we get divorced, I'm going to pay you $10,000 and I'll never talk to you again. Like the basic premise of that is a problem.
Yeah.
But I think when you are super rich and you go into a relationship with somebody, man or woman, I think you got to protect yourself because you have no idea anymore. Yeah. It's just the nature of the beast. But I thought I was very interesting with Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavalieri.
Yeah, man, to each their own on that, to each their own.
You would never do it.
No, I wouldn't because I don't think it's right. What are you better? Like, is she better than him that her money's not at stake? Like, yeah. Like, get the hell out of here, bro. You're not better. Like, you want to be in this? It's all or nothing. Like, that's what it is.
But by the way, and I was always a big Jay Cutler fan. Will Smith and the boys in Salt Lake always used to love that, to play that song. Jay Cutler, I'm giving up on you.
Yeah.
I was a huge Jay Cutler fan as... You know, because he was a Bears quarterback, and I'm a big fan of the Bears. But he was never an elite quarterback.
He was fun to watch, though.
He was. He was. And he made $10 million last year. Yeah, you know, man. Like, the guy is papered up. Like, he's made, I think he made, what, $122.2 million in his career.
And let's see what kind of money he really makes.
Man, that's a lot of scratch. So, here nor there, my point is, Jay Cutler is well taken care of. And
he's got to be careful with that, man. Like, he's got to be careful.
Well, if he's smart, his money's making money for him. Do you want to talk about Donald Trump versus John McCain or Luis Urias, the greatest second baseman in the history of baseball?
We'll save the Padres talk for tomorrow since we spent 51 minutes defending Tom Brady. Let's talk about Donald Trump ripping, you know,
So
McCain.
Are you pissed off now? You seem like you're mad now.
No, I'm good. I'm upset about what Trump did. I mean, I think it's just... embarrassing.
So John McCain, the senator from your lovely state of Arizona,
dies
of glioblastoma, which is a incurable, horrific brain tumor, cancer of the brain. It's terrible. And he is an American hero. Like, he is a guy that was a prisoner of war. I think everybody knows the story. Like, he's a prisoner of war.
Take the politics out of it. Just look at the guy's life and what he's done.
But think about this. The people who held him prisoner released a statement after his death saying what a tremendous human being he was. I'm not even gay.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. That's the level this is at.
It's ridiculous how many people love this guy.
Now go ahead and say what Trump did.
So Donald Trump refused to issue a proclamation, and here's the standard. When somebody of notoriety passes in the U.S. government, presidents generally issue a proclamation that says... In this case, John McCain's a great American. He served our country My thoughts and prayers are with his family. And in honor of John's service to our country, we're going to lower, you know, the all federal flags, or all flags are to be lowered to half staff until such time he is interned, which means once his funeral's over and he's, you know, buried, the next day you can raise the flags.
Yeah. Yeah. Proper process.
Donald Trump refused to do that. Hmm. Donald released a statement via Twitter that said, "My thoughts and prayers are with the John McCain family." And then the White House refused to mention John McCain's name. So much so it pissed off a reporter from NBC to the point where Donald Trump had like five media sessions today. Like he did these five things. Like he announced a new trade deal that was incredibly awkward because it was in a hurry and on the phone with the Mexicans. The president of Mexico gets on the phone and it was so awkward today. Like, it was just weird. Anyway, so he has all these media availabilities today, these photo ops, they call them. And so the press pool is going to all these five different photo ops. And the guy from NBC is like, "Mr. President, why will you not call John McCain a hero? Mr. President, are you going to, do you have anything to say about John McCain?"
You're fired.
"Mr. President, why are you an asshole?" He didn't say that. Anyway, the point is, he just kept, this guy went to all five of them and kept that. "Why won't you call him a hero? Why won't you release a statement? Are you going to give a proclamation?" Nothing. Nothing. And if you go on Twitter, you can find it. And all you hear is the press staff that work for the White House. "All right, let's go. Make your way out. Let's go, press, media, make your way out." By the third time, I think the guy's name was John. I can't remember the guy's first name, the reporter. They started saying, "John, let's go. All right, John, time to go." They're yelling at him in the background. And it's just awkward to the point where the Foreign Legion, like all of the military bodies, all of the, like all of these military groups started lashing out at President Trump, releasing statements. "This is a disgrace. He's a national hero." And of course, what is CNN doing? But CNN playing the tape where Donald Trump is saying he's not a hero. Here, I prefer heroes who don't get caught or captured. Like just all of the worst of Donald Trump talking about John McCain. And of course, what is everybody else doing on top of that? They're playing the tape where John McCain is at a campaign rally when he's running for president against Barack Obama. And this old lady grabs a microphone and says, "He's a Muslim. I don't trust him." And John McCain takes the microphone from, or I guess it would be, "He's a Muslim. I don't trust him." And then John McCain takes the microphone. He's like, no, he's not. He's a good American. And like says all this really respectful stuff about Barack Obama, right? And it just built up all day long where it's everybody, Democrat, Republican, like everybody was like, "Hey, Don Dutard, I don't know if you realize this, but this guy's an American hero. Might want to lower the flag." And so one of his last acts of the day today before he went to golf, I guess, or play golf. Does Donald Trump have that video game, Golden Tee? He's got to have a Golden Tee in the White House, right?
Why does he need it? He can just go play.
Well, because he does. He's usually in Washington Monday through Tuesday. And so he's got to have a Golden Tee. Anyway, point is, before he went and played Golden Tee, Donald Trump released a proclamation that said, "Hey, thoughts and prayers, yada, 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 lower the flags to half staff." And everybody was like, "Well, too little, too late."
It is. It doesn't matter what you did, you know, day after.
Yeah. The Mexico thing was awkward. Like, the Mexican press was even like, "What are we doing?"
I can't wait till CNN releases the entire list after this guy's out of office of all the dumb stuff he's done.
Because CNN will do that.
Oh, they will.
Like, I'm at the point, and I'm not anti-Trump. I'm really not. And I know I say this a lot, but if Donald Trump fails, we fail. It's bad for the country if the president of the United States is outed as a criminal and a complete imbecile. It's bad for us. It's bad for our house. It's bad for our family. It's bad for our neighbors. Like, it's bad for America. Let's say, what's the worst case scenario? Donald Trump is proven to be having colluded with the Russians or whatever. Collusion. No collusion. Whatever it is. The worst case scenario happens and Donald Trump is proven a liar, a thief, whatever. That's terrible for the country. That's terrible because we've been working for the Russians, essentially. Every American's been working for the Russians for however long he's in office. That's terrible. You don't want this guy to fail. But it is very frustrating that it seems like we can't just have a guy be the president without the Mueller investigation and Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels and her large, unappealing cleavage.
We expect the worst.
Yes. Every day you wake up and you expect...
What did Trump do today?
Yeah, I'm at the point where I don't watch CNN anymore. I don't.
Which is surprising for you.
I'm burned out on it, man. I never liked Don Lemon. I've never been a Don Lemon guy. But I've always been an Anderson Cooper guy. Can't do it anymore. Can't do it. Like, I can't even do... What is Stormy Daniels' attorney, Michael Avenatti? He says, woof, blitzer. No, a-hole, it's wolf. It's wolf, not wolf, it's wolf. He's not a dog, he's a wolf. But he can't say it, so he says, woof, blitzer. And by the way, Michael Avenatti is running for president. Stop, you're a jerk, stop it. Like, what makes you any different? Okay, I feel better. Anyway, point is, I wish that I had lived the life that John McCain lived. And 60 Minutes last night, because I'm a crotchety old man who misses Andy Rooney, 60 Minutes last night reran an interview they did with him after his cancer diagnosis. And he said, look, I'm 81. I've lived a great life. And the verbiage he used was, it was a life well lived. This is a guy that went to Vietnam, got captured, was horrendously tortured. And like today we've heard from, prisoners that were in the same cages he was in. Roundly applauding him, talking about what a great human being he was. We heard from one of his captors in Vietnam, what a great human being he was. John McCain, the Republican, all the Democrats, what a great human being he was. In the chamber today, they had like his desk in the chamber was draped in a black curtain and there were flowers on it. And, I mean, it just is, it's amazing. And the thing that pisses me off about Trump is this all goes back to the Obamacare repeal vote,
mm-hmm.
where John McCain has this horrendous thing removed from his eye. So he walks into the Senate chamber to vote on this, right? To speak and then to vote. And you have all of these senators walking up to him and hugging him and shaking his hand. And because everybody knows that John McCain is dying, he's just been diagnosed with the worst form of cancer you can essentially get. Because there's no good form, but glioblastoma, there's just no coming back from that. And they're all hugging him. And then, of course, the moment where he puts the historic thumbs down with all the drama. And Donald Trump can't put that aside.
No, he's too good for it. He's above it.
To say nice things. And the other thing, like, he never served. Donald Trump never served. And this is a guy in John McCain who was a prisoner of war in just horrendous conditions and tortured, and it wrecked him physically. And come on, good Lord. Anyway, so there's that.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's embarrassing, honestly. Like,
Are you gonna vote tomorrow? Tomorrow's election day.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I probably should.
I'm sorry. Hey, you gonna vote tomorrow? Tomorrow's election day.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. Yes.
Yes, you're gonna vote, you know, bastard. Anyway, all right. That's it. Do you feel better now? Are you like at least you're all pissed off now? What?
Nothing. Nothing. I'm good.
No, you're not. Anyway, all right. Make sure you find us anywhere you download your podcast from. So whether that's iTunes, Google Play. Certainly Stitcher and our good friends at iHeartRadio. Download the iHeartRadio app and search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. That's also where you find us on Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. Until tomorrow, say goodbye, Krabby Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.